This talk was given by Bear Gokhan Bonabacher at Zen Mountain Monastery. Gokhan is a senior monastic in the Mountains and Rivers Order. This talk, like all of our talks, is offered free of charge. If you'd like to make a donation or find out more about our retreats and residency programs, visit our website at zmm.org. Thanks for listening.
The practice of true reality. This is from Master Hongzhi. The practice of true reality is simply to sit serenely in silent introspection. When you have fathomed this, you cannot be turned around by external causes and conditions. This empty, wide-open mind is subtly and correctly illuminating. Spacious and content, without confusion from inner thoughts of grasping, effectively overcome habitual behavior and realize the self that is not possessed by emotions. You must be broad-minded, whole without relying on others. Such upright, independent spirit can begin not to pursue degrading situations. Here you can rest and become clean, pure, and lucid. Bright and penetrating, you can immediately return, accord, and respond to deal with events. Everything is unhindered, clouds gracefully floating up to the peaks, the moonlight glitteringly flowing down mountain streams. I wanted to talk this morning about Zazen and about working with thoughts, because this is where the work is, I think. It's certainly where I am working, where I have been working since I began sitting, began seeing my mind. And I was thinking, you know, I want to talk about Zazen because I so appreciate Zazen. As I continue to practice Zazen and to explore and get more and more familiar with my mind, appreciating this very of internal, private experience of Zazen, this very direct encounter with mind, with my mind. This direct encounter that can be with every aspect of our experience, each aspect. This direct encounter with our life. Very personal, internal exploration of what our true life is. Hongzhi says, the practice of true reality is simply to sit serenely in silent introspection. When you have fathomed this, you cannot be turned around by external causes and conditions. So this passage is from Hongzhi's practice instructions. He's offering us guidance in our practice. Uchiyama Roshi says, doing Zazen means to actualize the reality of life. What is the reality of our life? The truth of our life? Where is it? Do we find it only when sitting serenely in silent introspection? Hongzhi says, this empty, wide-open mind is subtly and correctly illuminating. This empty, wide-open mind is our mind, is your mind. But many times when we sit down for Zazen, that's not what we discover. We may not find an empty, wide-open mind. Rather than spacious and content, we encounter confusion from inner thoughts of grasping. We find habitual behavior. We find the self that is possessed by emotions. And this is also mind, your mind. The thoughts and emotions and habits that we encounter in our mind, in our Zazen, seem to be the problem. And an important part of practice is studying how they do can create problems, kind of get us in trouble. We have to encounter our thoughts and emotions and see what they do, see what happens, see what's happening. This is where the work is, where our study is. And so we all know the experience of sitting down for a period of zazen with firm intention. I'm going to sit this period. I'm really going to concentrate on my practice and really be diligent. And then the next thing we know, the bell rings to end the period, and we realize that we've been somewhere else, lost in thought, in a fantasy, maybe lost in sleep, drifting in dullness, not really there. Someone at a recent introductory weekend asked a question about a function on a meditation app that would ring a bell every couple of minutes so that in order to bring you back. And he was asking, you know, is this, and he was asking, he was saying, you know, that way I don't get lost in thought for the whole period of zazen. But he was asking, you know, is that okay, right? Is it a crutch? Is it a skillful means? And one of my Dharma sisters who was there to help answer questions was like, boom. It's like she was waiting for this question. And to say that that's not, we're not in zazen trying to control our thoughts. We're not trying to shut down thought. We're not trying to hold our minds to a line, right? And I was thinking about that, and, you know, so it's actually kind of important that we experience being lost in thought for the whole period of zazen. Many times. Something we seem to need many times. That we can't kind of skip that. We're not trying to skip that, get away from that. But we are doing zazen, and so whether we're here in the zendo or whether you're at home with some way to end your period, you come to the end of the period and you realize, I've been lost in thought or I've been asleep. And you care. We care. And so you're bothered by that, right? Oh, you noticed that. I was lost in thought. I was asleep. I don't want, like, that's not what I'm practicing. Because when we're sitting and thinking, we're just sitting and thinking. If we're sitting and sleeping, we're just sitting and sleeping. Not really doing zazen. And we may also be interested, can be interested, noticing what's just happened. Where was I, actually? Right, this is looking into the nature of mind. Where was that fantasy that I was immersed in? Where was my body-mind for that period of zazen? Where is the truth of my life when I'm immersed in thought, lost in fantasy? I think this is an accurate memory. I was remembering Daito Roshi talking about how we see people who are talking to themselves, and we're, you know, when you see someone really talking to themselves and out loud and sort of immersed in that, it's a little disturbing. But he would say, but wait a minute, we're all doing that. Most of us have just learned to keep our mouths shut. And then we need to actually see this, not pretend that that's not happening, not ignore that that's happening. That we are, know that we're thinking when we're thinking, know that we're talking to ourselves when we're talking to ourselves. Know that this is our mind, to see how we can get so immersed in that, and to know that that's not the truth of our life. We tend to believe in our thoughts. I was remembering the first time I came to the monastery, came to visit the monastery. I was coming for a Sunday service, and I was coming from a ways away, and so I drove down, and I found a place to camp on the mountain above Woodstock, and went for a walk in the woods and got lost and found my way back, and saw how I was telling the story of what was happening as it was happening, diligently. And it was like, I noticed that for the first time. I noticed that constant story for the first time. And there was a question there. I was like, what's going on? Who am I talking to? Why am I telling this story? Right? Where am I? Uchiyama Roshi says that when we're continually lost in thought or busyness or laziness, our life becomes fogged over. And the translator's notes that says, you know, this is actually a term that he's trying to translate, being fogged over. Our life can become fogged over by our thoughts when we're living in our thoughts. Separated from the truth of our life. He also talks about the way that we get dragged around by our thoughts. I found that a helpful way to talk about it. How is it that we get dragged around by our thoughts, by our desires? Pointing to that sense that we're not in control. And I think that it can be easiest to see this with our pleasurable thoughts, because we allow them to continue. And so to study this with our pleasurable thoughts, where there may be more opportunity. And so to see, to look at how thoughts are pleasurable because there is a pleasurable feeling that is associated with them in our body mind. And because we like these pleasurable feelings, we want them to continue, to persist. And so we do, we perpetuate them. And to see that, to study that, to see how there are thoughts that we call up over and over again. Some of them may be very simple and kind of mundane, but to look at, well, why do we keep going back to those thoughts? To see that there's a little pleasurable feeling that comes from them, or familiar pleasurable feeling. What is it? Why do we keep coming back to them? And so there's an opportunity here in looking at these pleasurable feelings and thoughts, just to see what's happening, to see the feeling associated with the thought. Can we actually separate those? Can we have those thoughts without the feeling? And an opportunity to see how we get hooked And so when it feels like we're being dragged around by our thoughts, to really try and look at that, see what's happening. Where did the thought come from? Right, who's actually dragging who around? Where does the thought sort of get its energy? How does it persist, perpetuate? And so to study this with pleasurable thoughts, desire. And then how about fear, insecurity, different forms of aversion? It may be harder to study these because we don't want them to stay. It's harder to stay with them, to actually see when these feelings are present. But this is also really important. How do we get dragged around by aversion, by thoughts that are uncomfortable, that are insecurity, that are anger associated with resentment? And to see the feelings associated with these thoughts. How close those feelings are. So I was at the temple a few weeks ago, and I like to get up early, and the building is quiet and pretty dark, and the city outside is quiet. And I sort of move around in the dark and try and make my coffee quietly so I don't wake up other people, and sort of do my morning routine and come down to the Zendo mostly in the dark. And someone had told me a few weeks before that someone had seen a ghost at the temple. And I'm very comfortable at the temple and familiar with the building and with the space. And this one morning I was coming down to the Zendo early, and it was dark, and I remembered the ghost, right? And it was really just interesting to see how just this brief thought and how my whole body reacted, right? It was like this full body shiver. And so just to see how closely there is, like how connected that is. Talking to some of the residents recently, and one of them was noticing how being here in residence, he wasn't being exposed to the news so much. And then noticing sort of in that little quieter mind how when he has a thought about the news, how he sees that, the response to that in his body and mind. The agitation of that, the stirring up. And so it's really, we should study that. It's good to see that. And then with all of these feelings, thoughts, to see then what happens, right? Something arises, we have an experience, a thought, feeling, and then what happens? And so, again, to notice, to see, I think in my experience this is easier to see, but so to see with a pleasurable thought, feeling, how that persists, how we can build that, how we can kind of stay inside of that. But what about an angry one? Right? To also see, well, how do we perpetuate that? How do we stay inside of that, kind of live in that? And what happens, what comes out of that? Or if we're anxious, kind of caught in that, to see the effects of that, to see how that comes out, how it affects us, how it comes out of us. I saw an article about the New York Times tracing the sources of the shooter's manifesto in El Paso, and I didn't actually read very much of it, but I was like, yeah, that's mind. Right? So an idea, we hear an idea, we have an idea. It appeals in some way. There is a feeling associated with it. We grab onto it. It seems we get dragged around by it. We should look at that. What is that actually? We are immersed in it. We immerse ourselves in it. Our ideas become our reality. And we can see from our own experience, the idea doesn't need to be true for it to seem true, to become true for us. And then what do we do with it? How does that come out of us? How does that affect our life, our actions? So to study, how does our life become fogged over? What is that? This is Uchiyama Roshi. He says, sometimes we completely forget about where we are and what we are doing. We may chase after thoughts and end up completely separated from the reality of our life, of doing zazen right now. Without being aware of it, we may start associating with or carrying on a dialogue with some vivid figure that has been totally fabricated within our own act of chasing after thoughts. Even at a time like this, if we wake up, that is, actually perform the posture of zazen with our flesh and bones and open the hand of our thoughts, then this very lifelike phantom will disappear instantly, and we will be able to return to the reality of zazen. This is truly a remarkable point. It makes us realize clearly that our fantasy has no reality, and that it is nothing but the empty coming and going of thoughts. This is a truly remarkable point. There is just this empty coming and going of thought. And so to see into the emptiness of thoughts, the empty nature of thoughts, I think this is certainly for me where, you know, I think this is where we first start to get some understanding of emptiness, to have some insight into emptiness. And this is a point that we have to see over and over and over again, to see more and more clearly, directly in our own body-mind experience. Because we can have some insight into the empty nature of our thought. I can see that when I get to the end of a period, and I've been lost in thought, and the period ends, and I wake up, and what's there? Where did it go? It's not there anymore. What was it? In practicing letting go, I can see that I can be completely caught up, completely convinced by a thought. And with my awareness, notice that, see that, and let go. Let it go. And where did it go? What happened? What was that? How come I can just let it go? We can see this truly remarkable point that thoughts, emotions are just empty comings and goings. But that doesn't mean that I stop getting caught up in them. Right? It may be the very next period that I get caught up. It may be the very same thought. So we're working with deep, this is a deep habit that we're working with. A habit that is kind of below and beyond what we can see, I think. And yet, that's what zazen gives us access to. I don't know that we can see the root of it, but it is giving us access to the root. That's what we're doing when we're practicing letting go. Longshur says we are cultivating the upright, independent spirit that can begin to not pursue degrading situations. He says, begin to not pursue. Right? These are practice instructions. This is practice. We have to practice. Tibetan master said, since the quiet or moving mind is our own mind, we can look into it and give it a close and thorough inspection. This is something very intimate and personal. There is no need to speculate about it, no need for guesswork. We can look directly and gain some very sound, thorough experience about the exact nature of our mind. So whether our mind is moving, thinking, caught up, agitated, dragging us around, or whether it is quiet, still, spacious and content, it's our mind. And so we can look into it and give it a close and thorough inspection. We can get very close to it, be inside of it with a knowing awareness of mind. This is something very intimate and personal. And what do we see when we get very close? What do we see about the mind that is moving, thinking? What is the nature of the moving mind, the nature of thought? Because our thoughts and emotions are just empty comings and goings, they're not a problem. They don't need to be a problem. How do they become a problem? How do they get us in trouble? How do we liberate them? What do we encounter when the mind is quiet, when it's not moving? What is the nature of our mind? Here you can rest, Longshur says. Here you can rest to become clean, pure, and lucid. And bright and penetrating, you can immediately return, accord, and respond to deal with events. And you know, I noticed he says you can return, as if it's a choice, right? We return. Our life returns, comes and gets us, so that we can respond in accord. And we're human, so we get caught by our thoughts and desires. Often, usually without noticing, without realizing that we're caught. Till with awareness, with paying attention, we may realize it. We may start to realize it, see what's happening. Earlier this week, I was trying to work on this talk, and I was like I thought I knew what I wanted to talk about, and I was just like, it just was like not coming out. And there's a whole process of working on a talk, which is familiar and still kind of dark to me. And then I was talking to Sean about something, and I realized, oh, that's what's going on. Right? I'm upset. I'm caught in, I'm like, something is jammed up in me. And seeing that, bringing some awareness to that, coming back and sitting, helped that to move a little bit, to open things up. It is an empty coming and going. We get caught on things. Things get caught in our body-mind. How do we let them move through? How do we release them, liberate them? Again, this Tibetan master, he says, meditation is to train in simply knowing what the reality of this mind is while knowing, and what the nature of thoughts is while thinking. Whatever your mind is doing, look at your mind. Study your mind. As Dogen says, become completely familiar with it. I thought I'd end by reading Hongzhi again. The practice of true reality is simply to sit serenely in silent introspection. When you have fathomed this, you cannot be turned around by external causes and conditions. This empty, wide-open mind is subtly and correctly illuminating. Spacious and content, without confusion from inner thoughts of grasping, effectively overcome habitual behavior and realize the self that is not possessed by emotions. You must be broad-minded, whole without relying on others. Such upright, independent spirit can begin not to pursue degrading situations. Here you can rest and become clean, pure, and lucid. Bright and penetrating, you can immediately return, accord, and respond to deal with events. Everything is unhindered, clouds gracefully floating up to the peaks, the moonlight glitteringly flowing down mountain streams.
Thanks for listening. You can find more Dharma talks, interviews, and events at zmm.org/media. While online, please check out the Jizo Project, our multifaceted initiative to make Zen Mountain Monastery more accessible and welcoming to all. Learn about the new Jizo House building and accessibility enhancements to existing facilities that are just two aspects to this exciting endeavor. Find out more and see how you can get involved at zmm.org/JizoProject. That's JizoProject.